We have already had two awesome weeks of camp. And the cool thing is this is my favorite week because we don't have to babysit you guys. We shouldn't have to remind you to take a shower. But it's an awesome week, and we are absolutely delighted to have you here with us this summer. Over the last year and a half, we've been hit with the craziness of our world, from COVID to this nasty political climate that has engulfed us. And as we get older, we see the tension and the junk sometimes. The cool thing about summer camp is this, is if you haven't figured out right now, your cell phone doesn't work. Anybody figure that out yet? You're like running around and you're like, man, if I could just get two bars of signal, this text or this snap would go through right now, all right? But what we love about it is this, is that the distractions are gone and we just get to hang out all week long. You're going to go on the river this week? Anybody going on the river this week? Oh, man. Anybody going tubing this week? Woo! That's the greatest trip of all. If you are not signed up to go tubing, get signed up and go tubing. Harlan, bring him on in, bro. Come on. You ain't going to hurt anybody. That's my good friend Harlan Scott, all right? And Shelby, these guys are from the state of California, and they've chosen to come to camp with us this summer, all right? So, hey, if you guys could just squeeze in, okay, squeeze in. We'll make some room for these guys. That'd be awesome. Is anybody going kayaking this week, all right? Yeah. We're going to shoot our buddies with some paintballs, and it's going to be an awesome time. But the most important thing that we're going to do this week is in this room every single night at 7:30, okay, where we have the opportunity to worship, we have the opportunity to hear the word, and we have the opportunity to grow. So we want to invite you to engage with us, okay? Don't let it just be something that just happens, but come in ready to take notes and listen and grow in your relationship with God. Our word for this week is sparks. And it's not necessarily this is the Bible verse that we're going to go to and we're going to read this verse and we're going to talk about it. But it's a concept that we want you to grab, that as a match will spark, it ignites. It begins. And with that one match, what's the saying? One match can be in a forest fire. What happens if on the inside of us that spark lights off and a forest fire starts in our school or in our homes or in our community? All because God did something special on the inside of each and every single one of us. So we want you to engage this week. It's going to be an awesome week. And it's going to be an awesome time. Some of you guys know our structure. And normally night one, we do worship. And it's all worship. But let me tell you something. We flipped it all upside down this week. On the last night of camp, we're going to do worship and baptismals all in one setting. And it's going to be a great time. So if God does something to you in your heart this week, we're going to give you the opportunity to be baptized on Friday night. And it's going to be a powerful moment. So with that said, I want to introduce to you our camp speaker for this week. He is no stranger to River Point and our River Point family at all, okay? He is our national youth director for the denomination that River Point's connected to. He does an outstanding job, and he has a tremendous heart and is a tremendous communicator, ministering to students all across this country and all across this world. And our camp speaker this week is none other than Mr. Randy Lawrence. Will you give Randy a huge hand as he comes?
What's up, everybody? That was pretty lame. What's up, everybody? Awesome. Well, good. Well, it's so good to see you. Brandon, thank you for your kind introduction. He was very, very nice and very kind. It's an honor to be with you. I love getting to come to camp. I'm very partial to River Point, so don't tell the other camps, all right? But I love coming to River Point. My first camp at River Point was 2007. Who was not born in 2007? Quite a few. Oh, there's a few of you. Okay, all right. So that was my first time at River Point, and I've been back many times, and I absolutely love it. So it's good to see a lot of faces that I recognize and a lot of new faces. So again, my name is Randy, and I have a wife named Dawn, and four kids, which is why my hair stands up, all right? So they would love to be at River Point this week. We've been traveling a lot this summer, so we couldn't logistically make it happen. But that's a little bit about me. And I want to echo what Brandon said. I'm so glad that you're here, because for centuries, God has used a little tool that we called summer camp, all right, for students to get away from their normal life, come have fun, meet friends, but then also encounter God. And so I just want to say again what Brandon just said. Allow God to just meet you. Even as we just sang a few minutes ago, allow God to just come and meet you. And if you will, if you give him permission, he will meet us. All right? If you got your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to look at two verses of Scripture. All right? Matthew chapter 26. We're going to look at verse 20 and 21. And for some of you, this will be a familiar passage. This is what is commonly referred to as the Last Supper. Anybody ever heard of the Last Supper? All right? We see paintings about the Last Supper. John took me to a little store in St. Louis. They had a puzzle of the Last Supper today. I was like, what in the world? But this is two verses from the Last Supper where Jesus is having a last meal with his disciples. And they're going to put it on the screen. Here's what it says. It says, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12, and as they were there eating, he said, this is Jesus, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. One of you will betray me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that your presence is here. And I ask, God, that as we get into your word, that you would do what only you can do, and that has caused the word of God to come alive inside of our hearts and lives, so we can understand it, and we can have an encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. On night one, I want to talk to you on this thought, and it would be this, among us. Everybody say, among us. All right, how many of you have played the most annoying game ever? All right? You can't play this week because you don't have cell phone service, all right? But I remember when my kids came, actually a youth pastor texted me, and he's like, this game is so annoying, but all my kids are playing it. I don't know what to do. And my kids came, and they're like, Dad, you got to play this game with us. And they showed it to me. I'm like, this is the dumbest game ever. I'm like, why does that character have a banana on its head? This one's got toilet paper. So if you haven't played Among Us, I'll explain for those of you who haven't what it is. It's basically this game where there are two types of characters. All right, there are crewmates. Everybody say crewmates. And crewmates basically have one task, and that is they each have a job, and they're supposed to carry out the mission. They're supposed to carry out the mission. They're assigned a job, and they have a carry out the mission. The second type of character is the imposter. Everybody say imposter. 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 And the imposter's job is simply sabotage the mission. The imposter just goes around and kills everybody. That's literally the extent of the game. You're either a crewmate or you are an imposter. The imposter goes around, tries to kill everybody, and the crewmates go around, they try to carry out their mission before they get killed, right? So I got thinking about this game, and for us as Christians, really life is kind of like the game Among Us, all right? Because we're all crewmates. If we read our Bible, we are referred to as, when you become saved, you become a part of the family of God. If you grew up in church, and kids' church used to sing this song about that you're part of the army of God. All right, I'm in the Lord's army. All right, so we all have a crew. We're a part of a crew. We have a job that we're supposed to carry out. God created each and every one of you with this unique purpose and job. And likewise, there's also imposters. There's imposters among us. And job is very simple. They want to destroy the mission. You know, in John chapter 10, when Jesus was talking about the fact that his role was to come and give us all life, Jesus said there's also a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So just like we all have a purpose and a plan, there's also imposters among us, right? And their job is very simple. Destroy the mission. Destroy the mission that God has set out for us. Not only is there imposters in this world, but here's what we want to talk about. I think somebody just fell on the backstage. Here's what we want to talk about tonight is not only are there imposters among us, but guess what? There are imposters inside of us. Every single one of us have imposters inside of us. In fact, can we all just say what's on the screen right now? Say, we all have imposters inside of us. Say it again. Say, we all have imposters inside of us. Our scripture in the Last Supper, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says very simply, he said, you know what? One of you among me, one of you at this table is an imposter. One of you is going to betray us. And we all have things in our life that want to betray God's mission. I want us to look at three of them tonight, all right? We're going to look at three imposters. They're going to put them on the screen. All right, imposter number one, all right? Imposter number one is the imposter Jacob. Everybody say, what's up, Jacob? Imposter Jacob. Now, we read about the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. And here's the intro to Jacob. Okay, Jacob is in this a literal wrestling match with God. Jacob is left alone one night and he goes to sleep and literally it's a dream, but it's real. And God comes down and God and Jacob start to wrestle. And let's look at what happens. God says to Jacob in Genesis 32, they're going to put it on the screen for you so that you can read it. In Genesis chapter 32, God, or they will, they'll get it up there. Genesis 32 says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, God says, what is your name? What is your name? And he said back to him, Jacob. Now, often that sounds funny because we would say, how does God forget what this dude's name is, right? But see, God in this moment is not having a moment of amnesia. He's not forgetting who he's there wrestling with. What God is basically saying in this moment is he says, Jacob, if you really want me to bless you, then you have to be honest with me. And so in that moment, Jacob says, okay, my name is Jacob. Literally, what that means is he was saying, my name is, I'm a deceiver. Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. You see, all of Jacob's life, and here's why we look at Jacob as an imposter, Jacob was always deceiving people. He was always tricking people. Early in his life, he dressed up like his brother Esau so that he could steal the birthright from his father, from his brother. Later on in life, he deceived his father-in-law. Jacob's whole life, he was going along with the motions, but guess what he was really doing? He was really deceiving people. And so in this moment, God says, if you really want me to bless you, then you need to come clean. See here, this is the first imposter that we deal with, the imposter of Jacob. And here's what the imposter Jacob always tries to do. It always tries to keep us from being honest with God. See, this is the first imposter that every single one of us deal with on the inside of our heart is a resistance to really be honest with God, to just come clean with God. And in this moment, God says, hey, Jacob, if you really want me to change your life, then you got to get real with me. You got to tell me what's going on. You can't just go through the motions anymore. You have to stop and you have to really say what's going on. See, too often in our lives, we struggle with this imposter because this imposter is easy for all of us to take on. You know, why come clean and be honest when we can have this feeling like we can just go through life, go through the motions, do things one way one day, another day, have my God friends over here, have my school friends over here, okay? Do things one way when my parents are around, do things another way when they're not around and I'm on my phone. And what happens is we fall into like this trap where we feel like we can say we're one thing, but really on the other side we can be something else. And what happens is this, our inner Jacob starts coming out, who's really an imposter, and he makes us feel like we can pretend to be something that we're really not. And this is why God told Jacob, Jacob, listen, Jacob, you've been doing this your whole life, and at some point, you got to stop running, Jacob. You got to stop playing the game, Jacob. You got to be real, and you need to tell me who you are. But for so long, Jacob had been going through those motions. Every single one of us, we have an imposter Jacob on the inside of us. So what do you mean? We all have moments where we go through life where we feel like we're not being honest with God. We're not being honest. We're not being truthful. Where we live one way and then we try to live another. We go one way and then try to go another. And the first imposter that we have to deal with is the imposter of Jacob. We have to deal with our inner Jacob. You see, when we deal with our inner Jacob, what we're really saying is this, is we're saying, I'm not having any more secrets, and I'm going to completely surrender to God. In this moment, this was a changing point for Jacob's life because Jacob said, you know what? God, you're right. You already know who I am. And at this moment, I'm going to surrender. Everybody say, no more secrets. No more secrets. You see, God, let me tell you something about God, and most of you already know this, but God knows everything. He knows everything. Every single thought that's happening in this room right now, okay, God knows it. The Bible even says God knows every single word before it ever comes out of your mouth. Even those of us that have potty mouths, okay? God knows it before it ever comes out. He knows everything about us. So why do we fall for the imposter Jacob who tries to convince us we can keep secrets? God already knows. So at some point we have to come to this breaking point where we say, you know what? I am tired of playing this game of secrets. I'm going to come clean with God. I'm going to come clean and I'm going to surrender to God, and I'm not going to play this silly game. You know, Elsa is a wonderful character for young girls. She sings super annoying songs. But you know what else? Yeah, let me tell you something else about Elsa. She is a terrible theologian. And the theology, okay, the theology of conceal it and don't feel it is garbage. It's garbage. It doesn't work. Listen, and here's the problem. Our generation, your generation, they fall for this trap every single time. They're like, I can just hide. I can just play the game. I can just live one way when I go to church camp and then go home and live another way and everything's okay. And I've got this hidden secret life and everything's perfect. And I can conceal it and I won't feel it. It's garbage because you know you feel it. And some of you, you walked into this room tonight and you're hiding a bunch of stuff. You're hiding fear. You're hiding insecurities. You're hiding secret sin. Mom and dad don't know what you've been Snapchatting with your buddies about. But God knows. God sees it all. And he's not mad at you, but what he wants to say to you is, hey, some point, you got to deal with the inner imposter Jacob because it's ruining your life. It's ruining your life because you're falling for the lie that we can have these secrets. Listen, today, the day in which we live in, is not a day for playing games. I know some of you are thinking, come on, can't we just be a little bit softer on night one of camp? And you know what? We can't. Because here's the deal. Tonight, hell is full of people who played this game. Hell is full of people who sat in some of the same chairs that you sat in.
And they thought, I'll just hold on to these secrets. I can live this way, do this, do this, do this, do this. It's not how it works. It's a game. And at one point, you have to stop before it's too late, and you got to come clean. Because the imposter Jacob will ruin your life. It will ruin your life. It'll steal from you. You ready for the second one? Say, yeah. Yeah. Second one is the imposter Jonah. Everybody say, Jonah. Say, what's up, Jonah? Your dog's missing an eye. We read about Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. Let's put it on the screen so you can see. Jonah chapter 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Hard Word, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But look at verse 3. Watch what Jonah did. God said, go to this city and preach. And look what Jonah did. It says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. Everybody say Tarshish. Say it three times real fast. Isn't that fun? But look what he did. He arose to flee to Tarshish. Who was he running from? He was running from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, the imposter Jacob tries to convince us that we don't have to be honest with God, that we can keep secrets. And here's what the imposter Jonah tries to convince us. And we all have a little bit of Jonah on the inside of us, okay? The imposter Jonah always tries to convince us that God does not have the best plan. That God doesn't have the best plan. That there's no way that God has the best plan. There's no way. God came to Jonah, gave him very specific instructions. You, Jonah, go here. And Jonah said, there is no way that is the best plan. I'm going to go here. Our inner imposter, Jonah, always speaks up. You see, God has the most perfect plan for all of our lives. Every single one of you, and I know this is kind of hard for you to fathom, but before you were ever conceived in the womb of your mother, God knew the day that you would be born. And he had the most perfect plan for your life. He has the most perfect plan for your life. He's got it all planned out. He knows the spouse that he has picked for you. He knows the career that you would, everything. God has the most perfect plans and thoughts for your life. But here is what is crazy, is that guess what he does? He still gives us a choice. He says, I got the most perfect plan for you, and I love you. I've given my son for you. But now I give you the choice to say, yes, I will follow that, or no, that I will not. And our inner imposter Jonah always gets to that point, that fork in the road, where you got to say, I'm following God's plan, or I'm going to follow my own plan. Your inner imposter Jonah will always say, God's way is not the best. Go the other way. And for so many of us, we really struggle with this inner Jonah. We struggle with it. In the world we live in today, it's harder with your generation. But I will say this, you have some very unique challenges because of our culture that is always trying to tell you that God's way is not the right way. Let me give you some examples. Like, how could we really believe that if God is a God of love, that God is a true God of love, how would God ever send anybody to hell? How can we believe that there's only one way to get to heaven? Like, what about all the other religions in the world and all the hard work and dedication that they have? Like, there's really only one way to God? Like, and we would say, man, that sounds just really old-fashioned. Like, don't things change? Don't things progress? Don't we get smarter as a society? And our inner Jonah says, you sure? Are you sure that this is right? Are you sure that this is right for 2021, for the world that we live in? Are you sure when you read this, when it says, when God's word says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made? Are you sure that it's still true for today? Like, can't a young man all of a sudden decide that maybe God made a mistake and they need to be a young woman? Like, come on, really? Like, why isn't God's word, it sounds old-fashioned. Like, what about today? Doesn't things change? My professor at college or school says something different. Are you sure that God's word is still the right way? That's our inner Jonah. Inner Jonah is always challenging God's plan. It's always trying to sabotage and say, are you sure that God's way is the best way? You see, your inner Jonah will always try to convince you that God's path is not the right path. Your inner Jonah, listen to me, young people, is always going to try to tell you that God's way is too hard, it's too boring, it's too lonely, it's too difficult, it's old-fashioned, it's not exciting enough. That's what our inner Jonah tries to say. You see, but watch, let's put the scripture back on the screen. Here's what we need to pay attention to with Jonah. Verse 3 says, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. And what did he have to do? He paid the fare. See, here's the part of the story that we don't always like to talk about. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard, right? Like, how many of you have ever seen a beer commercial on TV? Anybody seen a beer commercial? All of us, right? You know, isn't it funny in a beer commercial, they just show, you know, the party, the laughter, right? The guys are with their hot dates and all this stuff, and they never show people puking out their guts. You know what I mean? Like, they never show somebody hugging a toilet going, bleh, dilly dilly, you know, like, pass me an Advil, like, this was a blast. Never, right? Because in man's eyes, there's a way that seems like it's right, like it's fun, but the reality is that that path that Jonah thought, this is the way that I should go, he paid the fare for it. You see, our generation, listen to me tonight, this is why we got to get real, this is why we got to have this meeting and talk about it, is because Satan is absolutely destroying some of you, because he has convinced you that this way is not the right way, that this way was okay for grandma or grandpa, but it's not enough for you. And so what we got to do is we got to deal with our inner Jonah. Every single one of us have inner Jonahs. We all have a little bit of Jonah on the inside of us that we have to deal with. That wants to just nudge us and say, come on, seriously? Like, why not do that? Why not do it? Everybody else is doing it. Like seriously, you really believe that I shouldn't have sex until I'm married? Like, seriously? Like, that's so old-fashioned. Like, why would we do that? Like, how do I know if I don't, how do I know? Listen. Inner Jonah will always try to convince you that God's way is not the best way. And I'm telling you that Satan is destroying a generation. Before we go to the last one, let me tell you a story, and they're going to put it up on the screen. In the Bible, Luke chapter 16, read a story of a man, a rich man. And a rich man had a poor beggar who lived at his front gate, whose name was Lazarus. And Jesus told this story, and he said that the rich man and Lazarus both died. You see, one day, every single one of us, we're all going to die. I mean, if you Google it, you can't Google it because your phone's not going to work. But if you had the Wi-Fi password, which I won't give you, okay? If you had it, you could Google what are the latest statistics on death. And guess what? 10 out of 10 people die. And when you die, every single one of us are going to stand before God. I don't get to stand before God with my kids. I don't get to stand before God with my parents. I don't get to stand before God with my youth pastor. I don't get to stand before God with my best friend. I don't get to stand before God with my wife. I got to stand before God with me. And I have to give an answer to God. And here's what Jesus said. This rich man and this poor man, they both died. The poor guy went to heaven. But the rich guy, even though he knew about God and he knew about the right way, he chose to follow his inner Jonah, follow his own path. And he ended up in hell. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says that the rich man, you can put it back up for us, looked up. Not that one, the one you just had. There we go. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. And I want you to read this, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because what? I'm tormented. You see, here's why we have to be serious. Is because it's not a game. It's not a game. And one day we're all going to stand before God. And this rich man who knew about God because he calls Abraham his father, meaning he knew about God, he knew about church and things, he was spending his life in hell and torment. And his request was simple, just one drop of water, please. Can he just drop one drop of water because I'm in torment? Everybody say, Jonah. You got to deal with your inner Jonah. And here's the last one tonight, and the worship team can come, is Judas. Everybody say, what's up, Judas? Now, Judas was the one that we read about at the very beginning. But let me tell you another story about Judas. They'll put it on the screen for us, of another time in life where Jesus was once again at a meal. And here's what he said. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? They're having dinner, and this lady comes in. She takes this very expensive bottle of perfume, and she pours it all over the feet of Jesus. And Lazarus says, do you realize that we could have took this perfume? We could have put it on eBay and sold it. It was worth it, almost a year's worth of wages. We could have sold it and we could have fed so many poor people. Now, why did Lazarus say this? Not because he cared for poor people, okay? But Lazarus, all right, was the treasurer, meaning he was the keeper of the money and he was stealing. He was stealing. You see, our inner imposter, Jacob, always tries to convince us, don't be honest with God. Conceal it. Your inner imposter Jonah will always try to tell you that God's way is not the best way. And your inner imposter Judah will always try to convince you not to give God your best. Don't give God your best. Listen to me tonight, young people. God has the best plan for your life, but he also wants the best from you. God doesn't want your sloppy seconds. He wants your first. He wants your absolute best. He wants your absolute best. He wants you to learn how to put God first in every area of your life. But there will always be an inner Judah. When you try to put God first, your inner Judah will always say, man, that's too much. It's too much. But we learn, we know how to give people our best, don't we? Do I have any athletes in the room? Have any athletes in the room? Raise your hand if you're an athlete. Okay. If you skip a week of practice, are you going to play a game like in real sports? Absolutely not. My son's 14. He would love to be at camp this week. I dropped him off this morning at 6 a.m. for workouts. All right. It's not even practice time. But if he wants to play in September, he can't miss workouts this summer. We know, you know what it's like to be committed to something. Some of you know what it's like to be committed to a sport or a cheer team, or you know what it's like to be committed to a band. You know what it's like to be committed and put in the work and put in the effort. Some of you know what it's like to be committed to your favorite drink at Starbucks, right? Okay. Or your favorite show on Netflix, okay? Some of you are like, nope, I don't have any commitments. I don't have any commitments. Yes, you do. Let me see how much time you've been on TikTok or Snapchat, okay? You have commitments. But anytime we talk about giving God our best, guess who shows up? Judah. Oh, Pastor Brandon, I'd really like to do an internship with you, Pastor Brandon, but or can I go on a mission trip? But I can never come up with that much money. As we sip on our $5, $7 caramel macchiato, and it's our fifth one of the week. Are you hearing me? Anytime we try to do something for God, Judah always shows up. He says, why give God your best? We got to deal with our inner imposter, Judah, who will always try to rob from us. Would you bow your head tonight? Jacob will always try to convince you that you can keep secrets from God. Jonah will always try to convince you that God's way is not the best way. And Judah will always try to convince you to hold back and not give everything to God. You see, as your heads are bowed tonight, in the real game among us, if you are playing the game and you feel you know who the imposter is, you call an emergency meeting. That's what you do in the game. You call an emergency meeting and you say, you know what, I think I know who the imposter is. So here's what we're going to do on our first night of camp is the Holy Spirit is coming down to River Point Camp. And on night one, the Holy Spirit is saying, we're going to have an emergency meeting because we all have some imposters on the inside of us. Some of you have walked into this room tonight, and there are imposters who are robbing you. They're stealing you of your joy. They're stealing you of your peace. They're stealing you of your happiness because they are convincing you that you can keep secrets, that you can live a double life. They are convincing you that God does not have the best for your life. Some of you have walked in this room tonight, and yes, you're serving God, and yes, if you were to die tonight, you're going to heaven. But if you were to be flat out honest, you know that Judah has been robbing you because you are not giving God your best. There's more that you could give him. There's more that you could say yes to. So tonight we're having an emergency meeting. And on this first night, I'm going to challenge you to be bold. I'm going to challenge you to be courageous. I'm going to challenge you not to wait, not to hesitate. I'm going to challenge you not to say, you know what, it's only night one. I got four more nights to get things right with God. I got four more nights to decide. No, on night one, we're going to deal with these imposters. And so here's the first thing that we're going to do. While every head is bowed, if you are in this room tonight, and I'm going to be crystal clear, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, meaning this, if you have not asked Jesus into your heart to be your Savior, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, if you've never said, God, I am a sinner, I need you to forgive me of my sins, come in, save me. If you are here and you've never done that, or if you're in this room and you say, you know what, I've done that at one time before, but tonight I've walked away from God and I need to come back to Jesus. I need to come back. I need to come back and ask God to forgive me. If that's you, I want you to get out of your seat really quickly. Come up to this front. Come on, hurry. Don't wait. Don't wait. Say, I've never asked Jesus. Just come up and find you a place right up front. Thank you. Come on, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Don't let your inner imposter talk you out of it. Come on. Either I've never invited Jesus into my heart or I'm away from God. I'm away from God. Come on, be bold. Be courageous. Come on, there's more of you. Come on. The Holy Spirit is convicting you. You know you need to get out of your seat. Come on. Now, here's the second thing we're going to do. You guys that are up here, I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. There are many of you in the room tonight, and listen, you are saved. You say, you know what, I know I'm living for Jesus. If I were to die tonight, I'm going to heaven. But you know that you have some inner imposters that you need to deal with. You have some things that you've been struggling with, that you've been holding back. And tonight you want to say, on night one, I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to deal with these things. I want you to get every seat and come up to the front. Come on. I want you to come and I want you to bring them to God as you come. Say, I know I've got a relationship with Jesus, but I got some things I need to deal with. I've got some fears, some insecurities. Some of you in the room, you've been struggling with giving God your best. As you come, say, God, I'm giving you my best. I'm not giving you sloppy seconds anymore. Come on, I'm calling you to get out of the back row and come to the front and say, God, I'm not giving you sloppy seconds. I'm not giving you my leftovers anymore. God, I'm giving you my best. God, I'm giving you my best. In fact, just let that be your prayer. Say, God, I want to give you my best. I want to give you my best. I'm tired of Judas robbing from me. Now, those of you that responded for salvation, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. And I want you to say this prayer from your heart. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, tonight I come to you. And I ask you to save me. God, I confess my sins. Please forgive me. Come into my heart. I confess that you are my Savior. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, I just want you to begin to talk to God. Tell God what you've been struggling with. Some of you might even want to call out the exact imposter that you've been struggling with. Say, God, Judas has been killing me, convincing me not to give you my best. Our altar workers, our youth workers, if youth pastors, if you can come and begin to pray as our worship team leads us in a time of worship.